Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gigax, and today we are going to finally finish Article 41 of the JCAM, and I'm going to save the last two articles for a separate episode because I want to have like a finale episode and talk about what's coming up in Season 3. So for now, we're going to get through the rest of Article 41. And we're picking up where we left off on page 41-56. This is the third bundle settlement. It's M document 1663. So here we go. Case blah 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 arose as a result of the application of the March 21st, 2000 Memorandum of Understanding regarding City Letter Carrier DPS work methods. The issue in this grievance is whether City Letter Carriers in a DPS environment using the vertical flat case work method on park and loop or foot deliveries may be required to carry pre-sequenced addressed mail as a third bundle, when DPS letters encased mail, flats and non-DPS letters, constitute the first and second bundles. The parties agree that 1. The March 21st, 2000 MOU did not provide the Postal Service with the right to require letter carriers on park and loop or foot deliveries to carry pre-sequenced addressed mail as a third bundle. 2. The parties' prior agreements for carrying third bundles were not modified in any way by the March 21st, 2000 MOU. These prior agreements include the following two circumstances. A. Pursuant to the 1980 Simplified Address Mail Agreement, which allows the placement of such unaddressed mail on the bottom of the appropriate mail bundle, and B. In accordance with the 1992 Memorandum providing for the DPS composite work method, which includes residual letters, DPS letters, and flats. Case number blah 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 arose as a result of handbook modifications indicating that city letter carriers on park and loop or foot deliveries may be required to carry up to three bundles of mail. Notwithstanding the above agreement, the parties recognize that the Postal Service and its employees have an obligation to the American public to provide cost-effective quality mail service. We also recognize that the changing nature of the mail, e.g. decreasing first-class mail volume, increasing parcels, and increasing automation, necessitate changes in our work methods. Therefore, the parties further agree that 1. In accordance with the recognitions cited in the above paragraph, effective with the signing of this agreement, the parties agree that city letter carriers on park and loop or foot deliveries who currently carry three bundles will continue to carry as a third bundle, within weight restrictions, enhanced carrier route ECR, and periodicals, walk sequence letter or flat mailings, WSS, that have either 90% or more coverage of the total active residential addresses, or 75% or more coverage of the total of active deliveries on a route. 2. The parties will establish a joint work group to examine the various methods of mail delivery on park and loop and foot deliveries. The objective of the work group will be to develop safe and efficient delivery methods for handling three bundles of addressed and or unaddressed mail on routes with these type of deliveries. The work group will develop appropriate methods in the current DPS letter environment, and it will complete its mission within 60 days of this agreement. After that 60-day period, all city carriers on park and loop and walking deliveries will be required to carry three bundles, using methods from the work group, unless management determines that fewer than three bundles will be used. If the work group does not reach agreement within 60 days, all city carriers on park and loop and walking deliveries will, unless otherwise determined by management, be required to carry three bundles. But the individual city carrier will determine whether he or she carries the third bundle on the arm or in the satchel. Regardless of the work method, the third bundle must meet the requirements of paragraph 1 above. 3. The parties agree that under no circumstances will city letter carriers on park and loop or foot deliveries be required to carry more than three bundles. This agreement resolves and closes all outstanding disputes at all levels of the grievance arbitration procedure concerning city carriers on park and loop or foot routes being required to carry three bundles. The parties will meet at the appropriate level on all held cases to determine if they involve other issues. If a grievance contains issues other than third bundle, those issues will be addressed pursuant to Article 15 of the National Agreement. Please sign below to agree to resolve these disputes and remove these cases from the National Arbitration Docket. Date July 30th, 2007. Next, DOIS, Settlement Delivery Operations Information System, and there's a citation here. After reviewing this matter, the parties agree to resolve the dispute based on the following. The Delivery Operation Information System, DOIS, is a management tool for estimating a carrier's daily workload. The use of DOIS does not change the letter carrier's reporting requirements outlined in Section 131.4 of Handbook M41. The supervisor scheduling responsibilities outlined in Section 122 of Handbook M39, or the letter carrier's and supervisor's responsibilities contained in Section 28 of Handbook M41. DOIS projections are not the sole determinant of a carrier's leaving or return time, or daily workload. As such, the projections cannot be used as the sole basis for corrective action. A 5-minute time credit for lines 8 through 13 will be added. A 5-minute time credit for lines 8 through 13 will be added, or when route inspection data is available for lines 8 through 13, the actual average information will be used for daily workload projections. Management is responsible for accurately recording volume and other data in DOIS. Other than obvious data entry errors, route-based information may only be changed through a full count and inspection or minor route adjustment. Additionally, the parties have previously agreed that functions in DOIS which relate to the route inspection and adjustment process must be in compliance with City Letter Carrier Route Adjustment Process in Subchapter 141 and Chapter 2 of the M39 Handbook. Exceptions are offices that have jointly established an alternate route adjustment method. DOIS base information in such offices shall, as appropriate, comply with the alternate route adjustment method. Date, July 30th, 2007. Next is the Office Efficiency Tool, OEI. OEI for Office Efficiency Tool? That doesn't seem right. Anyway, the settlement regarding that. And again, there's a citation. Recently, our representatives met in pre-arbitration discussion of the above-referenced grievance. The issue in this grievance is whether the Office Efficiency Tool used to project office and street time in the Greater Indiana District violates the national agreement. After reviewing this matter, we mutually agree to settle the grievance as follows. The subject office efficiency tool is a management tool for estimating a carrier's daily workload. The office efficiency tool used in the Greater Indiana District or any similar time projection system or tool will not be used as the sole determinant for establishing office or street time projections. Accordingly, the resulting projections will not constitute the sole basis for corrective action. This agreement does not change the principle that, pursuant to Section 242.332 of Handbook M39, quote, no carrier shall be disciplined for failure to meet standards, except in cases of unsatisfactory effort, which must be based on documented, unacceptable conduct that led to the carrier's failure to meet office standards, end quote. Furthermore, as stated in the agreement for case blah blah blah, quote, there is no set pace at which a carrier must walk and no street standard for walking, end quote. Projections are not the sole determinant of a carrier's leaving or return time or daily workload. The use of any management-created system or tool that calculates a workload projection does not change the letter carrier's reporting requirements outlined in Section 131.4 of Handbook M41. The supervisor's scheduling responsibilities outlined in Section 122 of Handbook M39, or the letter carrier's and supervisor's responsibilities contained in Section 28 of Handbook M41. This agreement is made without prejudice to the party's rights under the national agreement. Please sign and return this enclosed copy, blah, 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 closing out that agreement. Next, delivery unit saturation mail scanning settlement. And again, there's a citation number. On several occasions, our representatives met at the interpretive step on the above-captioned grievance. Time limits were extended by mutual consent. The issue is whether the scanning process used for delivery unit saturation mail scanning violates the national agreement. Hold on, that's for me. After reviewing this matter, we mutually agree to settle this case based on the following. Under this process, the letter carrier scans the mailing's barcode in the office on the day he or she is scheduled to take the last of the saturation mailing to the street for delivery. By scanning the mailing's barcode, the letter carrier is not verifying that he or she has delivered the mailing. The subject scanning process is an internal measurement system used to verify when a saturation mailing is scheduled for delivery. Please sign the enclosed copy of this decision, blah, blah, blah. And, okay, that's that one. Next, reverting a route without current inspection data settlement. And another citation number. Recently, our representatives met at the interpretive step of the grievance arbitration procedure to discuss the above-referenced case. Time limits were extended by mutual consent. The issue is whether a vacant duty assignment for a full-time route may be reverted without current route inspection data. After reviewing this matter, the parties agree to the following. The parties recognize the employer's right to revert vacant duty assignments pursuant to Article 41.1.8.1 of the National Agreement. However, under current regulations, determining whether an established city delivery route is full-time, as defined by Handbooks M39, Section 242.122, and M41, Section 911.2, will be made using one of the following procedures. A 6-day mail count and inspection in accordance with the provisions of Handbook M39. A route adjustment pursuant to Section 141 of Handbook M39. Provided the data used is reasonably current and from the regular carrier assigned to the route. Evaluation through a national jointly agreed upon route evaluation process. Evaluation through an authorized developed joint route evaluation process. The parties further agree that cases held pending resolution of this case will be addressed by the appropriate parties when the cases are being held. The parties will give consideration to the above agreement and any action taken by the joint route adjustment teams subsequent to the revision. This agreement in no way alters the current maximization provisions contained in Article 7.3 of the National Agreement. Please sign and return, blah, blah, blah. Next, we have a memo between the USPS and the NALC regarding multiple days of inspection. The following will apply when conducting a 6-day route count and inspection pursuant to Chapter 2 of Handbook M39. Management will, if it determines it necessary when scheduling an inspection, to inspect on more than one day, inspect on no more than 3 days during the week of count and inspection. If management elects to inspect on 2 or 3 days during the week of count and inspection, management will be responsible for completion of the 1838C one of the days. The letter carrier will count the mail and complete the 1838C on the other days of the inspection. When management elects to inspect on 2 or 3 days, the PS Form 3999 closest to the selected street time on the PS Form 1840 will be used to transfer territory. Date January 10th, 2013. And here we have another memo between the USPS and the NALC. This one is regarding City Delivery and Workplace Improvement Task Force. This task force is established for the purpose of jointly seeking methods to improve the cultural and operational environment in city delivery offices. The parties reconfirm our commitment to modernize our delivery methods and processes to ensure the Postal Service remains the provider of choice for our customers and that we continue our joint objective of creating an improved work environment for all employees. During the term of the 2019 National Agreement, the parties agree that the intent of jointly developing and testing new work methods/concepts is to prepare our city carrier workforce to operate in a future delivery environment that will require precision, innovation, and ingenuity. With the mutual understanding that the parties' respective interests are best served through a cooperative effort, this task force will develop the processes necessary to examine conditions, to develop solutions, and to test alternative procedures in city delivery offices related to, at a minimum, creating a positive work environment/culture where everyone is treated with dignity and respect, evaluate the workplace culture, and develop solutions to address the causes of conflicts between management and city letter carriers, including disagreements over the amount of time a letter carrier needs to complete their daily assignment. Efficiency and use of space. Jointly develop and test new work methods/concepts to prepare for future delivery environments that ensure the Postal Service remains the provider of choice for our customers. Jointly explore the modification of current case configurations and work methods to identify more efficient techniques for handling residual and sequenced mail volumes. Jointly examine current casing standards and times for associated line items. Explore various combinations of office and street functions and other alternatives for structuring city carrier routes that will drive efficiency associated with variable daily workloads. Staffing and scheduling. jointly review and address issues regarding city letter carrier complements, starting times, employee availability, and related transportation schedules in order to optimize staffing and scheduling efficiencies. Route evaluation. Using the alternative and technological findings of the Alternate Route Evaluation and Adjustment Process Task Force, jointly develop and implement a process to efficiently and accurately evaluate delivery routes and assignments and determine the most efficient and effective mix of letter routes, parcel routes, etc. Jointly explore the use of technology, data, advanced analytics, and machine learning to improve operations, route evaluation, adjustment and optimization, delivery capabilities, and visibility. Safety. Jointly ensure the parties are fully utilizing the provisions of Article 14 to maintain a safe environment for all employees, including adherence to COVID-19 protocols for as long as necessary. Contractual compliance. Jointly address issues with repeated violations of the parties' collective bargaining. Contractual compliance. Jointly address issues with repeated violations of the parties' collective bargaining agreement, as well as any issues with the timely and effective functioning of the dispute resolution process. Mentorship. Explore the possibility of jointly developing and discussing implementation options for a mentorship program for new employees intended to improve the onboarding experience and retention rate of city carrier assistants. Business growth. Utilizing the findings of the new Product Development and Innovation Task Force, jointly explore how to safely and effectively perform existing, expanding, and future services, and how to efficiently integrate such services into the structure of city delivery. Jointly review the office's use of the Customer Connect program and the potential for new business. The task force will consist of an equal number of members appointed by the NALC and by the Postal Service. The task force is authorized to jointly test techniques directed at improving work relationships between city letter carriers and supervisors, as well as alternate methods and procedures related to city delivery functions. These initiatives may be tested separately or in concert with each other, as jointly determined by the task force. The task force's guiding principles should be to improve the work climate and daily relationships on the workroom floor and to increase operational efficiency in city delivery. This agreement is without prejudice to the Postal Service's right to make changes to policy consistent with Article 19 and 34 and the union's ability to challenge the same. The task force shall convene within 30 days of the ratification of this agreement and will function for the term of the 2019 national agreement. The task force will meet on a regular basis and report to the NALC President and the Postal Service Vice President, Labor Relations. I'm going to interrupt myself and, man, whatever business school student wrote up all those bullet points did a great job, but it sure does not feel like the task force accomplished very much. All right, moving on. We're almost done here. Here's another memo between the USPS and the NALC regarding alternate route evaluation and adjustment process. The National Association of Letter Carriers, AFL-CIO, NALC, and the United States Postal Service recognize the success the parties have experienced in the past 11 years working jointly to evaluate and adjust city delivery routes and the importance of efficiently and effectively utilizing available information and technology to evaluate and adjust city delivery routes as near 8 hours as possible. In order to continue efforts to jointly develop a city delivery route evaluation and adjustment process that reduces disputes and is more efficient and less intrusive, a national task force will jointly explore alternative methods of evaluating, adjusting, and maintaining city delivery routes. Additionally, the parties agree to jointly explore ways to utilize technology in joint route adjustment processes. The task force will be established with the signing of this memorandum and will include 4 members from the NALC and 4 members of the Postal Service. The task force will report to the NALC National President and the Postal Service Vice President, Labor Relations. A report outlining findings and recommendations will be issued by the task force as appropriate, but at least once per year from the date of this memorandum. This agreement is without prejudice to the Postal Service's right to make changes to policy consistent with Articles 19 and 34 and the union's ability to challenge the same. The task force will function throughout the term of the 2019 national agreement. Here's another memo regarding the Customer Connect program. The NALC and the USPS mutually recognize that revenue growth through the increased use of Postal Service products and services is vital to the current and future success of the Postal Service. To that end, the parties jointly developed the Customer Connect program, in which city letter carriers use their access and special relationships with customers to encourage increased use of Postal Service products and services. The parties re-emphasized their joint commitment to the growth and long-term success of the Customer Connect program and pledged to continue to work jointly at all levels of our organization to enhance this important effort. Date September 11, 2007. Next is a memo between the USPS and the NALC regarding joint workplace improvement process. The parties are committed to creating and enhancing a culture in every workplace that improves relationships between management and city letter carriers for the purpose of providing a safe, efficient work environment in which all employees are treated with dignity and respect. The parties recognize that such a work environment puts the Postal Service and its employees in the best position to accomplish our mission of providing the highest quality service to our customers. Therefore, the parties agree to the following joint workplace improvement process. JWIP. The parties will be overseen by the Vice President, Labor Relations, and the NALC National President, or their designees. Representatives will be appointed by the Vice President, Labor Relations, and the NALC National President, or their designees, to represent the Postal Service and the NALC. These representatives will work in teams of two, with one member representing the Postal Service and one member representing the NALC. The national parties will jointly select locations for teams to implement the JWIP process. The appropriate area manager, labor relations, or national business agent, or their designees, may submit locations to the national parties for consideration. Once a location is selected, teams will thoroughly review all factors in a selected location that affect the workplace culture, safety, service, or efficiency of a location. These factors include, but are not limited to, the treatment of employees, the relationship between the local union and local management, communication between city letter carriers and local management, corrective solutions or remedies to repetitive contractual violations and disciplinary issues, policies and practices regarding safety both in the office and on the street, service to customers, operational efficiency, and opportunities for business growth, staffing levels and properly adjusted routes. After the process described above is completed, the team will jointly develop recommendations for changes and a plan to implement such changes in each location. Each team will promptly report their findings and recommendations for each selected location to the Vice President, Labor Relations, and the NALC National President or their designees. The national parties will determine what, if any, changes are necessary based on the joint review and will assign responsibility for implementing such changes. Additionally, the national parties are committed to monitoring the effectiveness of such changes. Next, we have a memo between the USPS and the NALC regarding managed service point scans. The parties agree that the managed service points will be removed from the street delivery portions of city letter carrier routes. The removal of the scans will take place no later than 60 days from the ratification date of the 2019 collective bargaining agreement. Goodbye to those and good riddance. Next, another memo between the USPS and the NALC regarding new product development and innovation task force. The parties agree that it is in the mutual interest of both the Postal Service and the union to cooperate on identifying and developing potential opportunities to increase revenue that also provides a positive financial contribution. Accordingly, the parties agree to the following. 1. Establish a joint, quote, new product development and innovation, end quote, task force for the term of the 2019 collective bargaining agreement. 2. The task force will meet as frequently as needed, but not less than once per month. 3. The task force will be chaired by the NALC president and the USPS vice president of labor relations or by their designees. 4. This task force will be authorized to discuss, research, and consult with experts in various fields. The task force will make its best efforts to agree to programs, including pilot programs, to implement agreed-to services and practices. During such tests/pilots, data will be collected and analyzed in a timely manner with the aim of possible replication throughout the Postal Service. 5. The task force/committee will consider measures including, but not limited to, expanded e-commerce products and services targeting national retailers and small and medium-sized local businesses. Promotion and expansion of marketing mail for small and medium-sized businesses. Increase the use of first-class mail by promoting vote-at-home expansion. Partnerships with government agencies. New first and last mile services. Other subjects the task force may decide to consider. Within 6 months after the effective date of the 2019 collective bargaining agreement, the pilot programs related to one or more of the subjects identified above will be launched. The parties agree to work together to obtain PRC approval if necessary for any enhanced and expanded services. And guys, that is the end of Article 41. Article 42 is super duper short, and Article 43 is less than a page. And so we're going to finish that up next time, along with maybe some final thoughts. But for now, that's it. We are done with Article 41, and we are, for all practical purposes, done with the contract. So I will catch you all next time.